Morning, Cornerstone Church. It's good to be back. If you're a guest here, my name is Jeremy Lind. I'm the pastor of Cornerstone, and this morning I've got a testimony about Jesus. That didn't take long. On March 5th, my son was born, and this is his first Sunday here. If we could have him stand up in the back. No? Okay. Takes it after his dad. Too short to see him. But I'm thankful for the blessings that God has given me in my life. They're far greater than I deserve, and I just humbly thank Him for His mercy and His kindness towards me. And the process of giving birth and is something that I've really struggled just to find words to describe over the last few weeks from my perspective, and so I've made up my own. It was both incredibly beautiful and astoundingly difficult. It was beautificult. And it was both legitimately terrifying and genuinely heartwarming. It was heartwarmifying. And throughout the whole crazy thing, I've never been more impressed with my wife, Sarah. She, through very long and difficult labor, she never complained, which is incredible, and she never got discouraged. And I think the thing I'm most thankful for in my wife is her faith in Jesus. It was a very special time to be able to recognize our Creator, our God, who's created us, who's created our Son, and to recognize Him during this process as the one who has created us and invited us and blessed us to be able to join in with Him in this act of creating new life, and to be able to worship Him during this time. And we spent time in prayer, and we had worship music playing in the background throughout the whole experience, and it was I'm really thankful for the faith of my wife to be able to share in that with her and to have turned this very beautiful and heart-warmifying experience into an act of worship. And we had worship music playing in the background, and as the labor continued through the morning and the afternoon and the evening, we would be talking about what will we name our son. And it was just an awesome experience to feel God's presence with us and to pause during contractions and hear songs about God's name in the background, and His character and His nature and His behavior. It was just an amazing time of worship. And it was awesome to be able to feel God's Spirit there with us. And as the labor continued through the night into the morning and the first rays of sunlight came in through the window, it was awesome to pause during contraction and hear this song in the background. Our great Redeemer, glorious Savior, Your name is higher than the rising sun. Light of the morning, You shine forever. Your name is higher than the rising sun. It was awesome to feel God's presence with us in this act of labor and of worship. And as the labor continued and Sarah began to push, and they coached her and they said, you know, take a deep breath in between each push. And as she struggled for breaths in between pushes, and as I coached her, get a good breath in between this one, dear. It was powerful to hear this song in the background. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs. And so we pour out our praise, and we pour out our praise to You only. And as the labor continued, and as Sarah was in need of hope and strength and encouragement, it was awesome to be able to encourage her with this from God's Word. As the doctors were contemplating whether or not they should give us the C-section talk because we were wondering, you know, is she going to be able to do this? It was great to be able to encourage her with this from God's Word, sent a text message to me by her mom. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And it was awesome to feel God's presence with us in this beautiful act of worship. This passage from Isaiah, where my son's name comes from. And I was incredibly thankful to have the faith of my wife, because this whole thing that we went through was also a testimony to the unbelieving doctors and nurses who served us, as they could see where our strength and inspiration came from. And I was very thankful for them, because when Isaiah came out, he wasn't breathing or moving, and they knew what to do. They had a little tube, and they put it in his throat, and they had a little mask, like the size of a quarter, and a little mask went over his little mouth, and there's a little button on the top, and they and get breath in his lungs, and they got him breathing and up and running in no time, and he had to spend a few hours in the intensive care unit, but then after that, he was able to come back and see Mom. I was waiting for that. And great are you, Lord. And my testimony this morning is one of joy. And it's one of that includes the healthy birth of my son. But it's much more than that. It's a testimony of God's presence with us. And whether we're going through something that's joyful or through something that's sorrowful, whether we're experiencing something that's beautiful or difficult or beautiful, the most powerful testimony is one of God's presence with us. And that is my testimony this morning. And I could talk about my son all day, because I love him. When we talk about what we love, and we love to talk about what we love, don't we? We talk about what we love, and whether that's our child, many of us could talk about our child all day, or maybe we love our job, we could talk about our job all day. Or even if it's just something that we're passionate about, like movies or music or food. Have you seen that Captain Phillips movie? It's phenomenal. That Tom Hanks, what an actor. You've got to see this movie. And we can talk about what we love. We want to share it with other people. Have you heard about that new band? Oh, they're incredible. That music, you've got to hear it. That music will change your day. And we could talk about what we love. How about food? Have you seen that new restaurant? It's delicious. Or have you tasted that new dessert that's going on a cornerstone with the Oreos that's crumbled up in the cream cheese and dipped in chocolate? It's amazing. You've got to have that. We talk about love, and we share about what we love, and I could talk about my son all day, what it was like to hold him for the first time, to look into his eyes, to bring him home, the little noises he makes. And people want to know I want to talk about him, and they ask me about him all the time. What's it like to be a father? Have you ever loved anyone so much in your life? People know that I want to talk about him, because we know that we love to talk about what we love. And Christians know that we should talk about Jesus Christ. And we know that we should love him. As in Scripture's commanded in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your might, and with all of your strength. And Jesus commands us to go make disciples, and we know that takes words. We know we should be talking about Jesus, and we know we should love Jesus. But too often when it comes time to talk about him, we don't. And 3 out of every 5 Midwestern evangelical Christians will not have a faith conversation this year with anyone. And 50% of all Midwestern evangelical Christians, kind of a tongue twister, will not invite anyone to church. And we want to talk about the Lord. We want to love him. We want to follow his commandments. But too often when it comes down to it, when it comes time to open our mouth and speak about our Savior, we don't do it. And there can be many reasons for this, but most often, in my experience, I feel, is because when we don't talk about Jesus, it's because we don't love him. We don't love him enough to talk about him. We'll open our mouths to talk about the movie that we love, the food that we love. We'll talk about our children all day. But when we open our mouth to talk about Jesus, we don't know what to say, because we don't have love for him. And now, if you love Jesus this morning, my goal is not to try to convince you that you don't and create a problem where there's not. But my goal is, if you find yourself, if you look in your life and you think, when was the last time I actually talked about Jesus? If you don't talk about Jesus in your life, if you don't have words with your friends about Jesus, my goal is to get you to examine your heart and ask yourself, do I love the Lord? Do I have love in my heart for Jesus Christ? And perhaps you've actually never found that in your heart. Perhaps you've never experienced that. You're here at church today, but maybe you started coming to church years ago and you fell in love with the social conservatism. And it's the rules, it's the morality that you love. And you could tell other people about the rules. You could tell them the right thing to do. And you love that. but you've never actually loved the Lord. You've never actually loved Jesus. Perhaps you came to church and you fell in love with the idea of God's judgment and wrath against those who do not know Him because you have anger in your life towards other people. And you fell in love with that, but do you love the Lord? Do you love Jesus Christ? And perhaps at one time you were deeply in love with your Savior. Maybe you have experienced that in your heart before you came to church. You heard scriptures like Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, God proved His love for you and that He sent Christ to die for you. And you heard scriptures like that, and because Jesus Christ first loved you, the Holy Spirit opened up your heart, and you opened up your heart to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit inspired you to have love for your Savior. But perhaps over time, all the different competing loves in this world, all the other things which can steal our hearts, have crowded out Jesus from that number one spot in our hearts and pushed Him out. And now when we ask ourselves, do we love Jesus? We can't honestly answer yes. And is Jesus the love of your life this morning? And if you take an honest look at your life and your heart and you don't see a love for Jesus, my goal is not to inspire you to get out there and witness and have words with friends about Jesus out of guilt or out of obligation. That would be a disaster. I went into Tires Plus a few years ago, and it was, unbeknownst to me, it was going out of business, and perhaps as like a last-ditch effort to save the business, the owner must have told the cashiers, when somebody walks in the store, you need to come out from behind the counter and greet them and shake their hand. And so I come into Tires Plus, and I open the door, and the little bell rings, and the cashier looks up, and she goes like this when she sees somebody coming, and she goes, "Welcome to Tires Plus." And I thought, this woman hates her job. She hates her boss. He must have commanded this, and she hates doing it. She's doing it out of this obligation. She doesn't want to be here. She doesn't love her job. And I thought, I don't want to be here now either. And when we witness out of guilt and obligation for Jesus to try to do our duty, that's the way we come off. That's when having words with friends about Jesus becomes awkward, when we don't love the Lord. And yet we try to talk about Him anyway. My goal in getting us to examine our hearts here is not to try to get us to witness out of guilt or obligation. Putting guilt on you is not going to inspire you to become an effective, positive witness for Jesus Christ. That will not help. But what will help is an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God, one which opens up our hearts once again to who Jesus is and opens up our hearts to once again worship Him and love Him. The goal is to get us to seek an encounter with Jesus Christ. And this is a four-week sermon series on sharing our faith with Jesus and having words with friends about Jesus Christ. And during the sermon series, we're going to talk about things that we can do to make it easier for us to have words with friends about Jesus. And today we're going to be looking from John chapter 4. If you'd like to open up with me in the scriptures to John 4, we're going to be starting at the end of this passage, actually in verse 23. This passage, Jesus goes out of His way to meet someone who does not know God. And He meets a woman at a well. And in verse 22, we find out that she does not know the Lord. He says, "You worship what you do not know." And Jesus has this conversation with her. He tells her about God. He tells her about worship. And He preaches the gospel to her. And we're going to look at the end. We're going to look at the result of what happens when Jesus shares the Lord, shares the gospel with His new friend. And today we're going to look at what happens to the woman. We're going to learn from her example as well. And so if you turn with me in John chapter 4, I'll also have the verses up on the screen. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you don't own a Bible, we've got a Bible table in the back. Feel free to take one off the Bible and bring it home. You can use it as yours. So starting in verse 23 of chapter 4, it says, "But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." And so as we read the book of John, the picture that John paints of worshiping God in spirit and in truth is one of where the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, and we are born again. We are a new creation in Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit, our worship is aided and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to worship God in spirit and to worship God in truth. Jesus is the truth. It's in John that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is the way to the Father. And so worshiping in spirit and truth is worshiping with the power of the Holy Spirit. Worshiping God in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what John is referring to when he says, worship in spirit and in truth. And this is Jesus' words to this woman. This is his final words to her. After this long conversation, this is what he closes with. He tells her, worship God in spirit and in truth. And if we want to share our faith with our friends, if we want to follow the commandments of the Lord because we know that this is true, and yet when we open our mouths in those moments, we have no words to say. I think the first question we should be asking ourselves is our worship spiritless? When we worship, is it an act of discipline? Or is it a spirit-filled, life-giving activity? Do you remember or do you know what it's like to lift up your heart and soul to the Lord in genuine repentance with strong desire for His presence? And to have your worship be met by the Holy Spirit, which opens your heart up to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, His glory, His goodness, His mercy, His kindness, His lordship, His love. Is your worship life-giving and spirit-filled, or is it an act of discipline? For many of us, we've been running on fumes for years. We've had experiences with the Holy Spirit in the past which have opened our hearts up to Jesus. We know this is true, but it's become an act of discipline for us. We might read the Bible. We don't want to, but we open it up and read it because we know we should, and it's fruitless and uninspired. Or we wake up on Sunday morning, we drag ourselves and our kids out of bed. Nobody wants to go. Everybody's crabby. But we do it as an act of discipline. We know we should. Do you remember what it's like for worship to not be an act of discipline? Do you know what it's like to have spirit-filled worship? When was the last time you opened up your Bible and you thirsted for the Word of God? And you opened up your Bible and you read the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit came alongside and illuminated that Scripture and it changed your day, it changed your heart. You felt like you had been in God's presence. When was the last time you couldn't wait to come to church? You came to church and though everybody around you was just blindly going through the motions, you couldn't wait to get here and sing. You couldn't stop yourself from raising your hands to worship God for His goodness, for His mercy, for what He's done for you. Is your worship spiritless? Do you worship out of obligation and duty? Or is your worship a life-giving experience? Put your heart into it. Put your soul into it. I know you've got one. And is your worship true? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the way to the Father? Do you worship in truth? Do you know about Jesus Christ, the only one who's lived the life that God has commanded us to live? The one who died on the cross in our place for our sins? The one who rose from the grave to give us eternal life. Do you know the way to the Father? Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? And God said, Jesus says, God's Son, come to earth, says this is the way that we must worship our God. And as we read, He says, God is seeking those who will worship Him this way. As we'll study this passage over the next 4 weeks, we find that God, the creator of the universe, the one who's responsible for all that we have, for all that there is, the one who created you and knows you, who is seeking you, is seeking this woman. God means to have her in heaven. He sent His Son from heaven to earth and sent His Son to go speak to this woman. God means to have her in heaven. He's inviting her to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is inviting us as well. He's seeking people who will worship him in this way. And is that you this morning? Are you opening your heart up to the Holy Spirit of God to worship him? Are you thirsty for God? The God who seeks and saves the lost. Luke 19:10, Jesus says, I've come to seek and save the lost. And Jesus comes to seek and save us. He means to have us in heaven. And are we responding to his invitation? Are we worshiping him in spirit and truth? If you want to share your faith, and when you open your mouth, you find that nothing comes out, the first thing that we can do this morning, the first thing that we find in this passage that we're reading today, the last thing that Jesus tells this woman, which changes her life, seek God in worship. And worship God in spirit and in truth. And continue on, verse 27 of chapter 4. The author John says that just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and they were coming to him. This woman has had an encounter with Jesus Christ. She's had an encounter with the Son of God. And Jesus has shared with her what God's word is. And it has changed her life. She forgets why she came here in the first place. She had come to the well for water. She forgets why she was even there. She leaves her water jar behind. She's got something new on her mind, something new that she's focusing on in life. And she goes out and she tells everybody, you guys got to come see this guy. Her testimony is that he told me all that I ever did. And she says, can this be the Christ? And Jesus has just told her that he is, and the way she's responding, the way that she's inviting people to come back to see him, we see that her faith in Jesus is beginning to grow. Something's happening in her heart. She's had an encounter with Jesus, and this encounter with Jesus has captured her mind and her attention. Now when she opens her mouth to talk, it's no longer about the burdens of the day, the difficulties of getting water, her job, the struggles that she's facing, the great book that she read. She opens her mouth and she talks about Jesus. And what do you talk about? What do you talk with your friends about when you're chatting? What do you bring up to them? What do you love? Do you talk about the news? Do you talk about sports? When we don't know what to talk about, we talk about the weather. What do you love to talk about? Maybe you love to complain. What is your testimony in life? What do you share? What comes out of your mouth? And this woman, she speaks about Jesus. A few weeks ago, Mandy Morgan and I were talking before church, and she was sharing that in the prayer time before church, she has a friend, and she'd like to share her faith with her friend. And she just, in a moment of just self-disclosure, said, you know, lately I've been really just inspired by these essential oils. They help people with their colds and tense muscles and backaches and all these things. And she said, I believe in these things. And when people need help, I say, hey, you should really try this essential oil. This will help you. And she said, I wish it was that easy with Jesus. I want it to be that easy with Jesus. And I could totally share and relate. At that time, I had just rediscovered that all of these people my age were playing a video game that we all grew up with online. It's called Tecmo Super Bowl. It's from 1991. Old Nintendo game. And 2014, 23 years later, I said, you know, Mandy, I found out all these people are playing this game online. And I've rediscovered it, and I joined, and we're playing. It's great, and I love to tell people about it. If I see anybody between the ages of 25 and 40, I'm like, hey, did you play Tecmo Super Bowl back in the day? And I'm out there spreading the gospel. The good news, my testimony is of Tecmo Super Bowl. It's fun. You should do it. It's great. And I said, I can totally relate. And I thought how stupid and silly and how easily our hearts can be captured by the loves of this world. And they become our joy and our life and our testimony. And they replace Jesus in our hearts so that when we're excited about something, the first thing that we share is about essential oils or Tecmo Super Bowl or the cute noises our kid made last night. And those are all great things. We should love these things. They're wonderful. But when they replace Jesus as the love of our life, when we find ourselves not talking about Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, what am I talking about? And do I love those things more than the Lord? This woman has had an aha moment. She's had an encounter with Jesus Christ. God is revealing who he is to her. And when she opens her mouth, she tells everybody about Jesus. And if we are struggling to find words to say about Jesus Christ, we need to take Jesus' advice to this woman. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Worship until you encounter Jesus and find your testimony. Tim Tebow, the quarterback of the Denver Broncos a few years ago, almost exclusively every interview would give glory to Jesus Christ. Tim, you lost 42-7. What do you have to say? I just give glory to Jesus Christ. I thank God for what he's allowed me to do and for this opportunity. Every interview. Tim, that was your 12th interception. How did that go today? Well, you know, it was a tough day, but earlier, before the game, I got to meet with little Billy Johnson, who's had 42 surgeries and is 4 months to live. And I was able to inspire him today, and so it all depends on your perspective. And so I give glory to Jesus Christ. What a great day. Whatever he'd say was to give glory to Jesus Christ. And the last quarterback of the Broncos before him, or two quarterbacks before, Jake Plummer, was being interviewed in Denver, and he said, I wish he'd just shut up, quote unquote. I wish he would just shut up after the game. And they came back to Tim Tebow, and they said, Tim, everybody's sick of you talking about Jesus Christ. Will you stop? And he said, no, I won't stop. He said, you know, to maybe help you understand, it's like if you love your wife, do you tell your lover once, then after that you move on? Does anybody know you love your wife? If you love your wife, you want to tell her you love her, and you want the world to know that you love her, and so I won't stop talking about Jesus Christ. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to give a shout out to the Lord for what he's done for me. And what do you talk about? What is your testimony? What do you love? Is your testimony of joy? Is it one of sorrow? Do you have a testimony of God's presence with you? And this woman has a testimony. And we need to worship. We need to seek God. We need to seek the God that's seeking us until we find our testimony. Verse 31, the author says, that meanwhile the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to each other, Has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are 4 months, then the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And now Jesus just describes what's happened in a metaphor that they would have understood, a metaphor which has been very close to their life and their daily activities. He gives a metaphor of sowing in the field, and then once the grain rose and was ready, of harvesting that grain. And they would have easily recognized the terms that Jesus is using here. They had a saying, you know, we sow, we put the seed in the ground, 4 months later that wheat comes up, and then we harvest it. And when it's ready, the fields look white. And it's a beautiful thing, especially for someone whose livelihood depends on it. It's an exciting moment. The fields are white. It's time to harvest. It's time to receive the work of our hands and to be able to use that and live off of it. It's time to have a feast. It's time to celebrate. And Jesus is using this metaphor about what's been happening with him and the woman and what's happening right now as he speaks with his disciples. Jesus has sowed seeds in this woman's heart. They're bearing fruit immediately. He says, normally, you guys say a harvest is 4 months after you sow, but it's not always that way. already the harvest is white. The disciples don't know what has gone on. As we read there, we kind of came in at the end of the story again, but the disciples have just come into this situation. And they don't know what's going on. And Jesus explains, the harvest is here. This woman has a testimony about Jesus, and she's sharing it with everybody. You guys didn't sow, but you're going to reap the rewards of this harvest. You've got other people in the harvest that you don't know about that right now are telling people about Jesus, and they're going to come to you, and you're going to have an opportunity to harvest, to reap the rewards. It's not about food. It's about people's salvation. It's about people knowing God. And at this moment, people are coming out to talk about Jesus Christ because of this woman's testimony. Jesus says, look, this is what we have. The people are ready. And when we go out in this culture, a few months ago we had a sermon series called Shh, because the world just desperately wants people of faith to keep their faith private. And when we go out in public and we think about sharing our faith, we can feel like this is out of place. This is something that is not done. We might feel like the only one. And Jesus, in this passage, reminds us that we have other people who are helping. We have other laborers in the harvest. When people come to you and you encounter them, you don't know who talked to them an hour before you, the day before you. You've got other teammates. You've got other people working for Jesus. And when you open your mouth to have words with your friends, you don't need to worry. You can trust in God. You may be the one sowing the seed. It may be somebody else an hour, a day, a month, 25 years later who reaps that harvest. But we've got teammates in the harvest. And Jesus encourages his disciples. He says, lift up your eyes. The fields are white. We need to be encouraged that we have teammates in the harvest also working for our Lord. And at the end of this passage, after Jesus says this, it says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they've believed because of the woman's testimony. Now they're coming to Jesus. They asked to stay with him. And he stayed there in the town 2 days. And many more believed of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. These people have heard the testimony of the woman, and they've made the faith their own. They believe because they've now too had an experience with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is changing people's lives. In a few months, we're going to celebrate Easter. The resurrected Jesus Christ is alive today. The proof of Jesus Christ that he is a son of God and that God exists is the resurrection. But another great proof is that Jesus changes people's lives today. Just like he did 2014 some years ago in this town of Samaria. And the woman is the one who's having words with her friends about Jesus. She's the one leading people to Jesus Christ because of her testimony. She's got a relationship. She's got an experience with Christ. And what is yours? When you look in your heart this morning, when was the last time you felt that you've encountered the living God? And if you look in your heart and you say, my worship has grown stale, my love has grown cold, we need to worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus tells this woman. When we look in our lives and open our mouths to speak, if we never speak about the Lord, we need to worship and seek the God that's seeking us until we have a testimony. And we need to get out there and tell others this testimony. God is working. Let's get on board. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning, God. And we thank you for the encouragement of all of our other brothers and sisters in Christ, not only in this church, but all across the city of Blaine, all across the United States, Lord. And we thank you, God, for your church across the entire world. Lord, sometimes in a culture which wants us to keep our faith private, we forget that we've got teammates everywhere. God, and we thank you for their work. We pray that you'd help us to be bold and step out forward with our testimony. We pray that if we don't have a testimony, you'd give us strength through the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts, to find our souls, and to, to release that to Jesus Christ in submission and repentance. Lord, we just pray all these things. We pray that you would bless us here today, that we could join in this harvest, Lord. We want to see fruit. God, we pray that the people in Blaine who've been preparing their hearts to hear your gospel and your word, bring us to them. Help us to develop relationships. Give us words with our friends to say about you. Lord, we want other people to know you and to know the love that you have for us. And Lord, we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. And God, we also lift up this experience of remembering you called communion. We pray that you'd be with us in that. And we also pray for this offering which we're about to receive as well, God, that you would take these gifts and use them to multiply your kingdom. Lord, we love you. Be with us here as we seek your presence today. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus.